Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad calling in. Alhamdulillah, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave, servant, and messenger. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. This show is called Why They Want You to Be Rich. It is under Imam Alfred Muhammad's show, his network called Religion Means Alive. And Imam Alfred has been broadcasting for several years, and he's a great voice and a great spirit in the community, alhamdulillah. And so I first started broadcasting with Imam Alfred a year or so ago when I was really excited about the Hour of Code. It was a national and international effort to introduce children, our children, American children, to computer programming. And so it was called the Hour of Code. So I was able to get behind that, and Imam Alfred kindly, alhamdulillah, allowed me to come on his show and talk about that. I have Imam Muhammad Khatib on the line, and as always, over the last month or so, he's going to talk to us and give us a good moral base, a good moral teaching, like only he could do. And so he's going to talk to us for, I guess, about 45 minutes, maybe 45, 50 minutes. So, Imam Muhammad, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, let's listen to Imam Muhammad, brothers and sisters, and I'll be right back with you. I'm going to put my phone on mute, and Brother Muhammad, it's all yours. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you, sir. All praises to Allah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Brothers and sisters, peace be unto you, assalamu alaikum. I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we praise Allah, we seek his aid, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, no one worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and his messenger. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have the opportunity to address you and to talk about, you know, things that we as Muslims are concerned with and take up some of this precious life, airtime that Brother Amin has been blessed by Allah to offer to us. And we're thankful to Allah that he gives us an opportunity to just use this time to continue our eternal life. And you know, as Muslims, we believe that we'll live forever, so we don't want to do anything in our life that would cause us to, you know, to have setbacks or to have problems. And most of the time, the problems that we're having are either moral problems or financial problems and other things too. There's a lot of things in the society that can upset you, upset your thinking, upset your mind, and get you to the point to where you will be so stressed out and so disturbed that your mind might not be functioning all the time. But Allah has the answer for all of that, and I always offer that answer as we're commanded to do, and that's to show you or bring to you, bring to your mind Allah's word. And his word is for us in the form of a book, and it's called the Holy Quran. It means that we're supposed to be reciting it. That word Quran means to read, recite, remember. It means to discover. It means to, you know, just take it in and live it. We're supposed to be living what we believe in. And the Quran are the words of Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we call him Allah. Allah means the one who is divine and perfect. He has no flaws, and he has many divine names, and we are those who we want to live by those names. We want to respect the names of Allah. We know that He's the Creator. We know He created everything. We know that He's called Rabbil Alameen. And not only did He create us, but He cherishes and sustains us. He cares about us. He loves us. He nurtures us. He looks after us like a mother would, like a good mother, a beautiful mother would over her children that she loved. And Allah is the one who is to be respected all the time. He is the ever-praised Al-Hamid. He's the praiseworthy. And we praise Allah. We thank Allah. We know that He knows everything. He sees us all the time, so we know He's Al-Alim. He knows everything. Allah knows everything about everything because He is the creator of everything. He knows those things outwardly and inwardly. He's Al-Khabir. He knows everything in their most secret or in their. He's aware of even the secret things that we try to have. Allah says He sees you. He knows you. He's al-Basir. He can see everything. He sees the inner and the outer things. We know He's al-Samir or as-Sami. Excuse me, as-Sami. And He is the one who hears everything. He hears everything. There's never a time when Allah is absent. There's never a time when we are hidden from Allah. He sees everything. He doesn't need light to see anything. The light that He made, by the way. He doesn't need light to see anything. He doesn't need eyes to see with, because we know Allah is not physical. And that's one thing that the world needs to learn in worship, about worship, is we need to learn to get away from looking for the Creator to see Him with our physical eyes, because the Creator is not physical. Allah is not physical. He's not an idol. He's not physical. You cannot see Allah. The only way that you can to some extent discern Allah, or to some extent be aware of the presence of Allah, is through the revelation that He gave us, or the information, the knowledge that He gave us on how He is. And that's why I was reciting those names, because when we look at the names of Allah, or study the names of Allah, then we become more and more aware of who He is and how He divinely operates, how He divinely makes things happen. We know that the Quran says He only, whenever He intends a thing or desires a thing, He just says to it, be, and then it becomes. You probably heard it. If you're a Muslim, you probably heard it over and over again. He just says, kun, fayakun. Be and it is, or be and it happens, be and it becomes. So we want to study the names of Allah, and we want to remember that Allah is unseen. When we bow down to Allah, in fact, the Holy Quran says the only way you are correctly worshiping Allah is when you worship Him unseen, when you worship Him in the unseen, or worship Him unseen, worship Him without having to or being willing to, or wanting to, excuse me, without wanting to see Allah with your physical eyes. We know that Allah is always present. He knows everything. He sees everything. Allah is not an idol. Allah is not an image, a physical image that you can see. So when we worship Allah, excuse me. Have a train passing by. So when we worship Allah, we are worshiping, He says one of His high names, His divine name, is Al-Haq, which means the truth. So when we bow down to Allah, we're bowing down to the one who is all truth. He's not physical. You can't see Him, but He's all truth. So when you bow down to Allah and you pray to Allah, your words are reaching Him. Your words are reaching Him because He's always there anyway. And we are bowing down to the unseen, the all-knowing, the Most High, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. So when we call on Allah, He's hearing us. And when we bow down and pray to Allah, He's hearing us, He's seeing us. But He is not an idol that we're bowing down to. He is not a physical thing that we're bowing down to. If you were to bow down or look for a physical thing, then you're looking at something or bowing down to something that is created. It's something that's made. It's something that Allah allows and he desired for it or intended for it to exist, and that's why it exists. But it is far, far beneath the majesty, the great majesty of Allah. Anything he has made is beneath him. He is the creator of all things. He has no challenger. He has no competition. Nothing compares with Allah. We cannot comprehend him, but nothing, there's no competition. We cannot comprehend Allah fully, but we study his names and then we get an idea of who Allah is, what he wants us to do. And he is, as I mentioned in another talk, and again, I want to let everybody know I appreciate Brother Amin for inviting me to this program. I think I said that earlier. I intended to if I didn't. But this is a wonderful opportunity for all of us as Muslims. It's an opportunity for us to begin to create a media that is carried by angels. This knowledge that we have, this divine knowledge, our words of praise and prayer and guidance that we get from the Holy Quran and that we get through inspiration of the Quran and that we get through the good heart that's turned all the way to Allah, those words are carried by angels. They're carried by forces so that even though we may not have the big media towers and the big media companies and all the millions and billions of dollars and trillions of dollars that are tied up in making information reach people, Allah has willed for this to be saturated, to saturate the earth. Allah has willed for his word to saturate the earth, so we in our obedience to Allah are spreading this word, and this word is carried by angels to the creation. And somebody might say, oh, that sounds kind of spooky. Well, that means that, unfortunately, somebody has tricked you, because we know that the only way that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, and any other messenger received Allah's knowledge is through the agency of angels. And the angel, the main angel we're talking about, his name is Gabriel. The world calls him Gabriel or Jibril. Peace be upon him. He has a high status. His status is so high that we give him the same tribute or accolade that we give to the messengers of Allah, the human messengers of Allah. And we say peace be upon him when we're talking about Gabriel. But this knowledge that Allah wants to reach mankind, it comes through angels, and the angel that brings it, the chief angel, is Gabriel, and he brought that to all of the messengers. So we can't say that Allah's word and our help in our willingness to help Allah, he needs no help. Of course, we know he can do anything and everything all on his own, all by himself. One of his attributes is Al-Wahid, he's unique, and the other one is Al-Ahad, the only, the one and only. So he doesn't need any help, but Allah says he asks us who will help. In fact, Prophet Esau, Jesus, one of the things he asked his followers and his disciples, his companions, is who will help me in the cause of Allah? So we know that Allah wants us to value his word, to appreciate his word, and he says in the Holy Quran, he has made us for nothing else but his worship and service. So we're supposed to be in the service of Allah. Allah says he has ranged us in ranks. He lets the believers say we are ranged in ranks for your service. So it's important for us to see that when we speak about Allah, when we speak about this way of life, when we speak about the prophets, peace be upon them, when we speak about the books of Allah, the revelation, we have to understand that we're doing something extremely important. We shouldn't minimize it. We shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't just say, oh, just let us live our religion the way the world has shown us the example of living religion. Wrong. Wrong. The world doesn't have a religion where each alphabet, each letter earns you 10 rewards. Do you know that, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Quran, Allah says whoever recites the Quran or learns the Quran, that he gets a reward for each letter. He gets a reward for each letter. You say, I haven't seen that in the Quran. Well, what you heard, you've heard it because Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said that. And Allah says, whoever obeys a messenger is obeying Allah. So if Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said that you get 10 rewards, 10 blessings from Allah for each letter of the Quran that you learn, don't you know you should be digging in that Quran and turning those pages and learning as much as you can? Because the Quran will speak for you. It will speak for your status and your character in the life of this world. And the Quran will speak for you, or it will be like a badge or a license. It will be like an honor. It will be like a measuring instrument in the hereafter, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everyone who studies the Quran and lives by the Quran, whatever level of Quran he studied and learned in this life, that will determine his status or his level in the hereafter. So if you learn all of what Allah is saying, I'm just reminding you that the Quran is Allah's own words, his own words, his own commands to us, his guidance to us. It is full of guidance. The Quran says it's hudan wa shifa'un. It is guidance and it is healing for the believer. It's guidance, it's healing, and rahmatul lil muhsinin. And it is a mercy to the doers of good. So it's worth our while, it's worth all of our, it's worth more than anything for us to learn what our Creator is saying to us and what He wants us to do, and it's in the Holy Quran. So getting back to my point, for each letter that you learn in the Quran, you get 10 blessings. Each letter is, each word is full of letters. Each word in the Quran is full of letters. The words have guidance. In fact, Allah says in the Quran that His guidance in the Quran are His signs. His most important signs to us are in the Quran. But He says His signs are everywhere. So we are learning the Quran, and we're learning to live naturally. We're living along with the nature, because Allah says that خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ, that He made the heavens and the earth out of nothing else but truth, with truth. So we study the Quran, and we also cooperate with the nature that we're made out of. We're made out of the nature. We're made out of the earth. You know, with the descendants of Adam, the man who was made out of earth, fashioned by Allah's own hand, Allah intended for him to exist. And we are His sons and daughters. But we are people of the earth. The earth feeds us. The water feeds us. Adam was made of earth and water. And really, water is earth too, liquid earth. But he's made of a consistency that caused him to be shapeable. And Allah gave him life, breathed into him life, and breathed into him, or presented to him, or I should say gave to him, guidance. And Allah said He gave him so much guidance, said he taught Adam the nature of all things, taught him the names of everything. So brothers and sisters, let us appreciate Allah. Let us worship Allah sincerely. Let us show our appreciation. Allah says, if you show your appreciation, He will give you even more. Thank Allah for Brother Amin here for letting us be on this program, because, see, I'm not one of those people who feel like I'm not reaching anybody, or I'm not, we're not being heard. I'm not being heard. Brothers and sisters, I don't care if it's one person, I'm being heard. I don't care if it's nobody. When we're talking about Allah, you're being heard because the angels stop what they're doing and they listen to you recite the Quran, listen to you talk about Allah. They listen to you. And Allah says the angels will work with you. So if your desire, if your deep desire is to worship and serve Allah and to reach people with His word, then the angels are going to assist you with that. How do we know that? Because when Allah made Adam, He told the angels to respect Adam, to show him appreciation, to show him respect, great respect. And Allah says He has made the human a little bit above the angel. So we actually can command angels with the name Allah if we're doing something that worships and shows our worship and service of Allah. I believe that.
So to think that nobody is listening, or I wonder if it's 10 people on the radio or about, I'll talk like I'm talking to a million people or a billion people every time I open my mouth, because I'm not worshiping the people. I'm worshiping Allah, and Allah says, turn your whole self to Him. And He says, strive with all your might. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. So we're made out of the earth. We're made out of water. We're made out of the light. Right? We're made out of the air. Right? This is the natural creation. So we're to respect the signs of Allah. We're to respect the signs of Allah all the time. This shows our obedience to Allah. This shows that we're worshiping and serving Allah. This shows that we're bowing down to Allah's will. And Allah says when you bow to His will, He says that He becomes the hand that you strike with. We're not talking about fighting and hitting people. We're talking about doing deeds, because your hands are representative of your thoughts and the things that you do with your thoughts. In the outer world, you're reaching, you're touching, you're writing, you're doing some meaningful thing. A believer is one, the Prophet ﷺ said, a believer is one from whose hands others are safe. But believers have hands, so what should we be doing with our hands? We should be doing good deeds all the time. And Allah says you become the foot. He becomes the foot that you walk with. He becomes the foot that you walk with. So when you give your will and line it up with His will, then you can see that you're doing the right thing, and you can see how easy it is for Allah to use you in the life of this world and make all kind of miracles happen, all kind of miracles. So every word in the Quran, every letter in the Quran, this is from Allah. These are the signs of Allah. The word ayat not only means sign, the word ayat also means miracle. It also means miracle. This is the divine language. This is Allah's own divine language. So how could you possibly say it's not a miracle? You know, these people in the society, sometimes they call them diehards or stiff necks and all that. And they constantly are trying to avoid the Creator, avoid respecting the Creator, because they're so puffed up on themselves. You know, one of the people who claim religion, they say that we are God's chosen people. They say they're God's chosen people. They say they're the chosen ones. And the problem is that when Prophet Esau, Jesus, came to them, they were disobedient to Him. All of the messengers, when they come, they say, I have come to you with a message from your Lord. Listen and obey me. Listen and follow me. All of them said that. And Jesus was no different. He said, I have come to you with a message from your Lord. So listen and follow me. Obey me. I will lead you to your Lord. He said many things that we are familiar with in this society. He said, I come not of myself, but of Him who sent me. I come not of myself, but of Him who sent me. He said, if I be supported, if I be lifted up, I will draw you up. I will draw men unto me. If I be lifted up, if I be supported, I will help you. He said all these beautiful things. You know, Jesus was one of those messengers who could, some of His miracles was things like walking on water. And people, you know, they say, oh, I don't believe nothing like that. But water, we were taught by our great messenger. And he's not a messenger in the sense of Prophet Muhammad, but he was a messenger because he carried this message. And I'm talking about Imam W. Muhammad. It's easier to call him Sheikh, but we commonly call him Imam. But he was more than any Imam that you ever met. He was the knowledge that Allah blessed him with, the insight that Allah blessed him with, left him with. If too many people call his father a messenger, which, you know, we know that there's no messenger except named Muhammad, except the one that the Quran was revealed to over 1,400 years ago. But I would say Imam Muhammad had more of a messianic mission and more accomplishment in it than the ones that others have called prophets or messengers or whatever of our time. You know, you go just walk in the church, sometimes they call you, no disrespect to the church, but sometimes they go too far with calling their preachers and their ministers prophets, you know. But anyway, Imam Muhammad told us, he said, water just means moral teaching. Water just means moral teaching. So if you walk upon or stand upon moral teaching or moral principles, if you stand upon that, you're not doing anything unusual. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. The thing about moral principles is that most people won't respect morals. Most people won't live by their morals. And so when they are tested, they fall down. They lose the test. They sink. They drown. They drown in the corruption of the society, or they drown in the consequences of their own behavior, because they don't want to live by moral principles, which means you're supposed to be doing right and be conscientious. That means having an idea of, should I be saying this? Should I be doing this? Should I be thinking this? Allah tells us in the Quran that people fail, man, the people of the past, mankind failed because they would not reflect. They would not reflect. They would not stop and question what they were doing before they did it. So they would rush headlong into foolishness. You heard the old saying, it said, fools rush in. Fools rush in where wise men fear to tread. Well, I'm going to adjust that a little bit. Yeah, fools do rush in. They do go do stupid stuff. And but the wise man, he stops and thinks first. He checks the rules. He checks the laws. He checks the principles. He wants to ask himself, can this be done safely? Can this be done in such a way that it will not violate the rules or violate the laws or violate the boss, who in this case is Almighty God Allah? So we don't ever want to put ourselves in a situation where we're not doing what Allah wants us to do. We want to obey Allah in everything we're doing. So I want to get back to the fact that the whole earth is helping us. All of what you want comes out of the earth. And some people might say, no, it don't. The water don't come out the earth. Oh, yes, it does. The water in the clouds, it rises up from the earth because of the heat of the sun, and it rises up until it becomes cloud. And then when it gets up to a higher level or a layer up there where it's too cool for it in the atmosphere, too cool up there, it condenses. Like, you know, raindrops or water drops on your window on the inside. I didn't mean to call them raindrops, water drops. When it's cool outside and it's warm inside, that condensation or that accumulation of water begins. There's a chemical reaction, a thermochemical reaction, where when warm and cool air come in contact with each other, they begin to accumulate moisture or to produce moisture. You could almost say it's like they're crying, but they're not crying. But the clouds come back down, so the water of the clouds is from the earth too. So Allah has made it so that the earth, we get our food from the earth, we get our air from the earth through the exchange, the chemical exchange between the plants and the animals. The plants produce the air, the oxygen that the animals need, including us. Our body is animal. We don't call it an animal because Allah has raised us up until we are not seen as an animal. This divine knowledge and even the high earthly knowledge makes you so strong and powerful that you can not consider yourself, you shouldn't consider yourself an animal anymore. You're just kind of riding this animal called your body. The earth is feeding us. The earth is helping us. All the food comes up. The human being is fed from the earth just like the other animals. So the oxygen, we need that. But what we expel, what we give off, what we breathe out, that's the carbon dioxide. Guess what? That's what the plants need. That's what they need. That's their breath of life called carbon dioxide. So the animals need the oxygen, and the plants need the carbon dioxide. See what balance Allah has put in the society, and in in the creation. And look at the light we need, the bright light of the sun. It feeds us. If it were not for the sun, the plants would not grow. The atmosphere would not warm up. The earth would not warm up. The 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 uh, the moisture, the heat that we talked about a moment ago would not be happening. It would be cold, so cold, if it were not for the heat of the sun bouncing off the earth and creating a warm climate for us, or creating climates on the earth. Brothers and sisters, we have it made. We got it made. Allah, so Allah gives us the earth, and of course, we have to have that water. We have to have water. Our bodies are made up mostly of water. And if it were not for the design that Allah has given us, that's one of his attributes, by the way. If it were not for the design that Allah has given us, we would not be, we would not have the circulatory system and the high, this so sophisticated, so complex is our circulatory system and our nervous system and our muscular system and our bone system, our skeletal system, our endocrine system, our reproductive system. All these systems depend on water passing through them, on water in the form of not just drinking water, but the body processes it so that the blood is mostly water. And the blood is circulating throughout the system, and it's distributing, apportioning out all the ingredients that we need, the water and the nutrients that come from our food that we eat that comes out of the ground. So many people in the city have lost touch with where food comes from that they don't think about the earth. They don't think about the soil. They don't think about the farm. They don't think about the farmers. All they know is they want to eat, and they eat. And unfortunately, many people are eating food that's too contaminated or processed food, food that has they're eating the wrong foods, all that, trying to get healthy. But what is it doing? Is making them unhealthy. Brothers and sisters, we are so fortunate. Have I talked enough about why we should be worshiping Allah? Why we should be serving Allah? Brothers and sisters, we should be serving Allah and worshiping Him because we should be that grateful, just that grateful for all of the gifts and all of the blessings and all of the miracles that He's put in us. As I mentioned before, everything in the creation is a sign. Everything in the creation is a miracle. From who? From Allah. He's put his signs everywhere. He is the designer. He is the creator. And there's one attribute where he says not only does he create, but he creates in such a magnificent way, the best to create, the best to help, that he gives you the best coloring. And he gives you, he didn't give you coloring to be angry with people and fight people about how what they look like. He didn't give you height or size to fight about what you look like, or what people fight with people about what you look like. Or he didn't give you the tongue to learn the different languages and know the different languages of the world for you to be angry with other people and hate them. You should be looking at their morals and how they behave before you make an opinion about how you want to treat them. And then even after that, you should try to treat them in the best manner. You know, Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, he had enemies. He had so many enemies. But did he try or go out of his way to be mean to them or cruel to them? No, he tried to communicate with them. He tried to not only communicate with them but educate them. He tried to persuade them to take the best route. And the best route is obedience to Allah. The best route is to be Muslim. I mentioned yesterday at the Jumu'ah, and I give Jumu'ah every Friday. I've been blessed to give Jumu'ah every Friday somewhere for years and years, maybe 20, 30 or more years, Talims, speaking at the prison, speaking at the hospitals, Veterans Hospital, speaking at the colleges, UCLA, the different organizations, community organizations. So I have about 3,000 khutbahs. They're scattered everywhere. In fact, I went on a trip one time and I went on a plane ride one time and I tried to take a number of them with me, hundreds, and they lost my luggage. So I've lost about 400, 500, 600 lectures, and those were on tapes. But we should keep up with our knowledge, brothers and sisters. We are not a joke. This religion is not a joke. You're going to be questioned about what you believed in. When you go to your grave and say the angels come to you, and this angel asks you, who is your Lord? If you weren't worshiping Allah sincerely, if you weren't worshiping Allah sincerely, you won't. Let's say that All the only thing that happens to that soul is that they become confused. I think the people said something about Allah, but I don't know. You don't want that to happen to you. So the angel asks you, who is your Lord? And the angel asks you, who is your prophet? You better say, Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. Prayers to Allah be upon him and peace. You better say, Muhammad, when they say, what was your religion? What was your way of life? What was your book? You better say, Deen al-Islam. My deen, my way of life was al-Islam. And my book is Allah's word, the Quran. My book is the Quran. That's the book I lived by. We're to live by the Quran every day of our lives. We're in eternal life. I think you heard me mention that at the beginning of the talk. Every day is another day of eternal life. Every hour has 60 minutes. Every minute has 60 seconds. So you're looking at 3,600, that's 3,600 seconds in each hour. That's a chance for you to say every second or every couple of seconds, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, or Allahu Akbar. Now, you know, if you use the whole minute to say subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, you use the whole hour, excuse me, to say that, all the 3,600 seconds to say subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. Now, the people might say you're crazy. But I'm here to tell you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you worship Allah so sincerely and so much that the people think you're crazy, he said, that's good. They came to him one time and said, why are you praying so much that your feet swell? Look at your skin. Your feet are swollen. The skin, you know, you get this flesh gets too swollen, it'll pop. Say, why are you praying so much that your skin, your feet, you're swollen? And they said, don't you know you've done so much good that you're going to go to paradise and Allah loves you and all that? And he said, shouldn't someone who's loved by Allah like that, or has been blessed by Allah with all these blessings and miracles, he said, shouldn't they show their appreciation? So I'm just saying the same thing to you, brothers and sisters. You know, you may not use a whole hour to say your dhikr, but what's wrong with saying dhikr for a whole hour when Allah's giving you 24 hours? You know, we're unfortunately sometimes very ungrateful. You know, we can sit there and watch TV for 3 or 4 or 5 hours. We can talk and chat on the phone and on those different chat lines for hours and hours and hours. We can, you know, go out and scan the area looking for somebody to marry or whatever for hours and hours and days and weeks. We can, you know, all it just goes on and on. But where is the gratitude that we should be showing to our Creator, who has given us the ability and who's given us all these conveniences that we want to take advantage of? We're using Allah's time, but we're not giving Allah credit. Don't you know Allah speaks about people like that in the Holy Quran? Yeah, he speaks about people like that in the Holy Quran, who they want things from Allah, but they don't want to turn around and thank Allah for the things that they have been begging for and asking for. We don't want to be like that. We want to be people who sincerely worship Allah. And we want to talk about Allah and think about Allah. We want to make the dhikr. Allah says in the Quran that dhikr increases you. It increases you. The dhikr increases you. The word is zidni. The dhikr, remembrance of Allah, increases you. And Allah says in the Quran, fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. So remember me, and I will remember you. If you remember Allah, he will remember you. Allah says if you even were to move towards him, he will move towards you even quicker. And you've heard the hadith that says if you walk towards Allah, he'll run towards you. I just kind of adjusted it a little bit so that we'll get the idea, because, you know, we get into the habit of quoting hadiths, but we don't look deeper into the meaning. So if you think about Allah, if you're moving towards Allah, if you're working for Allah, if you're serving Allah, if you're thinking about Allah, if you're loving Allah, he's quicker to help you, to love you, to serve you. Don't you know Allah gives you service too? Allah said in the Quran that he said, I have inscribed for myself the rule of mercy. In other words, he has made a rule on himself or incumbent upon himself that he be merciful to you. You don't count that as service or help? And the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, at one time they were so tested and so stressed and so anxious and so harassed and so near to destruction that they said he and the people with him would say, when will come the help of Allah? So that shows you, brothers and sisters, you're going to need Allah sometime. If the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, needed Allah to the point that he said, he questioned, when will Allah's help come? You know you're going to get that way sometime. You might have had a smooth road. You might be 80 years old. You say, I've outlived the time of the prophet. You know, peace be upon him. He passed away at 62. Peace be upon him. So you might say, oh, I'm 80 years old. I'm 75 years old. I've outlived the prophet. Don't put that feather in your cap. You should be saying, oh, Allah, let me be like the messenger of Allah. Let me be like your messenger by following the model, the example that he set for me. Let me be one who can forgive my enemies. He forgave, we talked about his mercy a moment ago, but I didn't finish that point. He forgave his enemies to the point that these are people who had killed his relatives, his close relatives. His daughter brought about her death, Zainab, I believe, and his uncle Hamza and others. He starved his wife until she became sick, and I don't think she ever fully regained her strength and health. He was poisoned himself, shot with an arrow himself, tooth knocked out. But he kept his faith in Allah. He kept his faith in Allah, and he forgave the ones that were against him, that tried to kill him, murder him, assassinate him. He forgave the ones that killed his family members. So you could safely say that he was more merciful than Jesus was. Peace be upon him. He was more merciful than Jesus was. If Jesus' mission was only a few years, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission was for 22 years, 23 years, if his mission was over 20 years, you could safely say that he had more mercy on mankind than even Prophet Isa, alayhi salam. And somebody might say, yeah, but Jesus gave his life to save the world. He did not give his life to save the world, unless you're talking about he used every day of his life, every minute, every hour, to worship and serve Allah by being a messenger of Allah. Now, in that sense, you're doing the same thing if you're a good believer. You're giving your life to try to save this world. I almost said this doggone world, this society. I could say doggone about this society, because there are too many people in this society that have destroyed themselves with listening to and following the stuff that they see out in the public, out in the world, in the society, that they see on TV, listen to in the music. So much so that too many people have bowed down to things like drugs and homosexuality. Drugs, homosexuality, and these forbidden things. Allah says intoxicants and gambling and those kinds of things are forbidden. They're Satan's work. So Allah says stay away from that. Avoid it. Eschew it. Stay away from that. Homosexuality, they better be glad that Allah has made Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so merciful and that Allah himself is the most merciful, because the Quran doesn't say to kill him. The Quran doesn't say to kill him. But Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, and his community, he had them stoned to death. But the Quran says to lock them in their house for life. Like being dead. Lock them in their house for life and say, or maybe that Allah makes some other way out for them. So maybe somebody will come along and say, the leader get them the promise that they're not going to return to the nasty, filthy, unhygienic, it's another word I'm looking for, biohazard. They won't return to that biohazard. Can you imagine that a man that won't boo-boo on him? Oh, that's nasty. He said, I give up this nasty, biohazard, filthy, forbidden life, and I'll never do it again if you let me come out of my house and maybe go to work with somebody. Maybe somebody come along and say, I'll give him a job. I'm going to watch him, but I'll give him a job. So the mercy that came through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says that he is a mercy, is right in the Quran. He is a mercy to the world. He is a mercy to mankind. He's a mercy. That's what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's model is in one of his names, that he's a mercy. And so, brothers and sisters, we want to be people who always do what's right. We want to worship and serve Allah sincerely. We don't want to fall into what Allah said in the Quran. وَإِنْتُ تِأَكْتَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُدِلُّكَ أَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِنْ يَكْتَبِئُونَ إِلَى زَنَّ وَإِنْ هُمْ إِلَى يَخْرُسُونَ. If you were to follow the common behavior that you see people doing in societies, especially in this society or certain regions of this society, certain parts of the Hollywood area and Vegas where they gamble, and Hollywood where they just do anything, their own thing, New York where all the craziness goes on, and down in Mardi Gras, down in New Orleans where they buck naked dancing in the street and stuff, and constantly rolling their bodies and enticing people and stuff. And, you know, all these things. There's a couple other spots. Miami, I said that, I think. But you want to be a person who doesn't follow the common run. They are not your leaders. They are not right guides for you. The right guidance for us comes in the messenger of Allah. The right guidance for us comes in the Quran. The reason I said the prophet could give you that guidance is because he received the Quran and he lived the Quran. He lived his guidance that he got. He lived his revelation more than any other messenger had the chance to live their revelation. But Adam received more revelation because Adam is the one who received the knowledge of everything, the names of everything. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one who was tested, and he got to live. He actually had dated. Allah gave him revelation that came to instances that he was living right in front of the people. He would have a question, or they would question him about something, and he says, "I don't know the answer to that. Inshallah, Allah will reveal to me the answer." And a day or two, a week or two, a month or two later, a year or two later, Allah will reveal to him what he should do and what guidance he should give to the believers. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's why he's called Khayr al-Mursaleen, the best of all the messengers. Khayr al-Mursaleen, I know some of you haven't heard some of these things I'm saying, and you say, "Can you prove that?" Well, I say to you, you haven't been listening to our religion, or you have not been thinking. You have not been thinking deeply about what Allah has in the Quran. Because if you say, "Why is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the best of all the messengers?" and you think about the other messengers and how some of them didn't even get a chance to live out their mission. They were murdered because they were so hated by the people that Allah had sent them to. It says it right in the Quran. It says some of them, they just rejected them. Some of them, they harassed them. Since some, they went so far as to kill. It's right in the Quran. Brothers and sisters, don't minimize any verse that you see in the Quran, because the Quran has all the answers. Allah says that it has all the answers. It says that built into the Quran is the ability for you to tell right from wrong with the chapter Al-Furqan, a chapter called discrimination, or the ability for you to tell right from wrong. And it says that everything in the Quran, another chapter called Fusilat means explain in detail. Not only do you have discrimination, you could tell right from wrong, but the things that Allah speaks about in the Quran, all of them are explained clearly, explained fine, down to the fine points. Explained in detail. And Allah says, nothing have we left out in the Quran, that it is enough. That's got to be one of its attributes, that it is the book where it is enough. It is the book where there's no flaws or faults or wrongs in it, no doubt in it. That it is the book, this is the book in which there is guidance, without doubt, for those who believe in Allah, who are God fearing, who remember Allah, who fear Allah, respect Allah, love Allah, and don't want to incur the wrath of Allah. Love Allah, but don't want to anger Allah. Who want to worship and serve Allah all the time. So, brothers and sisters, let's just keep getting fed. by this creation that Allah has put us into. He's given us everything we need to survive and to be successful. Allah says he's given us so much of what we need. He's given us so much of it. He's given us enough to completely live a wonderful life in the life of this world. To the extent that Allah said, if any fail, he said it will be their own fault. If any fail, it will be, it said, it will be their own fault. Even Satan, the devil, says, don't blame me, because all I did was call you or try to get your attention, called your attention to something, and you went after. You listened to me, and you went after it. So don't blame me. Blame your own soul. And then he tops it off, almost like a kick in the behind, by saying, for those who disobey Allah, there must be a punishment. Isn't that something for the devil to tell you that you made a big mistake following him, and you made a bigger mistake by not following Allah? Brothers and sisters, I thank Allah. I hope that you would give me a text sometime. My phone number is 310-925-3945. If you will send me your email address in that text, if you will send me your email address, because you know you can't send an email through a text file, it's too big. But if you send me your email address, I will send you some of my lectures that you can listen to on all sorts of Islamic topics and a lot of things about the world. We don't follow the world. Allah says if you follow them, they will lead you away from the way of Allah. And he says that they do nothing but guesswork. Brothers and sisters, can't you see in this society we're living too much by guesswork? We're living too much by guesswork, by man-made laws, and they choose their laws. You know, I call it whimsical. They're sick with whims. Whimsical. Whimsick. They're whimsick. They have man-made laws, and if you're a color they don't like, that the judge don't like, or the politicians don't like, or you're a group of people that they despise, they'll tailor the laws or shape the laws, design the laws to exclude you or put hard tasks and punishments on you. They will abuse you using the so-called laws, these man-made laws. But Allah's laws are fair. They're just. Allah says all of his laws are just, and he does not oppress anyone. He does no injustice to anyone. Read the Holy Quran, and you'll see those verses. So we don't follow this world. If you follow the common run of the people on earth, yudiluka an sabilillahi, they'll lead you away from the way of Allah. And they do nothing but follow guesswork, make up stuff, use stuff against you, trick you, deceive you, fool you. And then the last part of it says, that they do nothing but lie. They lie all the time. Look at how they lie on Prophet Jesus. These people think they're following Jesus, and they're getting down on their knees and praying to an idol, and then they take a little juice, pretend they're drinking his blood, his physical blood, take a little cracker or bread and pretend they're eating his body, and what they're being introduced to is gross, filthy cannibalism. Gross, filthy, contaminated cannibalism. If they were to do it, they would be drinking or eating contaminated body fluid and body mass. And if they do it psychologically, they're taking on a contaminated idea. This is very significant what I'm saying, because in a few more days, you know, they're going to go all around the world. Look how they spread this false idol. The real Jesus is hard to find him. You can hear him in talk from our leaders, our rightly guided leaders. You can hear Jesus' talk in people who believe in Allah, who do what's right. You can hear in a few Christians who really try to live Jesus' example. But that Jesus, they hide from you. They hide him. They hide him with their media. Their media is so big, so powerful, so awesome materially that they can make up a whole story that's not like Jesus at all. But that's what the people are living. That's what the people are living. Jesus would never tell you to become a cannibal. Never, ever. Brothers and sisters, we're going to stop here. There's much more I would like to say. Brother Amin, you've been very kind. I'm going to give you my phone number one more time, 310-925-3945. please support Brother Amin. Brother Amin, don't forget to give them your information. And inshallah, we'll build on what you're doing. I'm happy to be a part of what you're doing. And I appreciate you, and keep up the good work. May Allah bless each and every one of you. We're going to close right here with a dua, if you want me to now. Otherwise, I'll come back later, inshallah.
Okay, can you come back a little later? Can you come back? I'm not going to talk long.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
It was a dua. I really appreciate
my
it.
My pleasure. As-salamu alaykum, everyone.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad. I'm looking at right now New Africa Radio that has been promoting Imam Muhammad for many, many years now. And I'm looking at this excerpt here. It's called Something New, Rich Want to Enrich the Poor. Something New, Rich Want to Enrich the Poor. And this is what I was looking at and wanted people to gravitate toward, what Imam Muhammad said about this book. It was a book by Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump that came out in 2006, Why We Want You to Be Rich. And Imam Muhammad, he recommended this book. But, you know, it's something interesting. I'm on the Internet looking at New Africa Radio now, and I'm looking at this article. It's called, if you go to New Africa Radio, then it's called Life, the Final Battlefield. It's part one. Imam Muhammad, it's transcribed. Now, if you go to my Facebook page, you can see the Imam making these statements. And I think it's very important that we follow guidance, follow leadership, and follow the advice of Imam Muhammad. He says, but it's something here, right before this article is called Something New, Rich Want to Enrich the Poor, and he says here, he says, our infrastructure, this is Imam Muhammad talking, you know, this is a talk of March the 2nd or 3rd, 2008, about 6 months before he passed. He says, our infrastructure is now needing serious repair. Our infrastructure, he says, is now needing serious repair. And where is the money, he says? More taxes? He says, the poor are already taxed too much. This is Imam Muhammad talking. But something has to be done. So practically everybody will say the rich have to be taxed and the poor has to be taxed less. I agree with that. And then I'm calling attention to this word infrastructure. How many people use that word or understand what that word infrastructure is? He says our infrastructure is now needing serious repairs. Now, President Donald Trump is talking about spending $1 trillion on infrastructure repair. He says, you know, $1 trillion in order to put America back to work. But Imam Muhammad says our infrastructure is now needing serious repair. You know, and that language seems like mighty similar to Donald Trump. But let me read this. He says, something new, rich want to enrich the poor. He says, when we see what is going on today, this is Imam Muhammad talking now in this talk, Life, the Final Battlefield. He says, when we see what is going on today, we see some new things happening and positive things too. They are very positive. When two very rich fellows share the same concerns and get together and publish a book. And this book they publish is given as encouragement and instructions to the average person of median income, of poverty level income, or simply poor. They are giving this information to anyone who will appreciate it and use it. Their book is to teach all of us how we could become rich. You know, I think it's very significant that the Imam has escalated this language, you know, about rich, how to be rich. Because, you know, we are, like I said last week, we very well could be very influenced
by people talking about, oh, being rich is not everything. It's not all like that. And we know that when we get rich, we're not going to do it selling drugs or prostituting or degrading programming in the media. You know, we're not going to do that. We're going to get rich righteously. Our children are going to have anxiety. But the imam uses this word rich because they say something is the root of all, money is the root of all evil and all like that. So we very well might be influenced by this type of teaching, and we never really get a chance to have our parents, our parents, thank God for them, they did the best they could, but they didn't have the knowledge that we have and the knowledge that we're getting and the knowledge that we're going to put into our children. He says, they are giving this information, I'm reading Imam Muhammad again, to anyone who appreciated and knew that this book is to teach all of us how we can become rich. He says, one is Asian. He's talking about the authors. One is Asian and one is European. This is something new, he says. This is something new that is happening when rich people want poor people to become rich. You see? One is Asian and one is European, American. This is something new that is happening when rich people want poor people to become rich. He says, why? He says, why? It is because they are good-hearted people. Now, maybe this transcription here, because if you look at the video, Sheikh Imam Muhammad says they are good-hearted humans. He says, and they value human life. They feel bad that so much money is being controlled by a very few people, and they want to change that. That's what the imam is saying. And if you go to my Facebook, New Africa Space Code and STEM Academy, you can see it right there. You can see it. And it's very important to me. He says, why? Because they're good-hearted people and value human life. They feel bad that so much money is being controlled by very few people. And don't we hear that all the time? He says that America is becoming a population of very rich and very poor. The middle class has been wiped out. Don't we hear that all the time? You know, they know, I'm going to continue with Imam Muhammad here. He says, they know that if they can be successful in bringing poor people into the roles of the rich, that society will be relieved of much of its burdens. The rich who come into wealth because they were favored by circumstances are tied up with their business interests, which takes up all their time. He says, but now it's a little section here, he said, relieving misery for rich and poor. They know that if regular people become very, very wealthy, these new wealthy people will not tie up all their money in industry and technology and things like that, but would share their good fortunes with their community. Now, ask yourself, if you became very rich and very wealthy and rich and everything, wouldn't you reach out to your family? Wouldn't you make sure that your kids and your family's kids go to good schools in good clean neighborhoods? You know what I mean? I know that's true. I mean, I know it's true for me, and it's true for my circle of friends. But if we were rich, we would reach out to them. And our community also. So he says, Imam Muhammad, he says, they know that if regular people become, he's talking about Trump and Kiyosaki here, he said, they know if regular people become very, very wealthy, these new wealthy people will not tie up all their time in industry and technology and things like that, but will share their good fortune with their communities and will invest heavily in their community. And their community will grow financially and misery will be relieved for both the rich and the poor. Because when we suffer, it eventually becomes a political issue. And eventually the government makes it an issue for everybody. The rich are taxed and the poor are somewhat relieved. But if we could be ourselves the factor for changing our circumstances, nobody would be overly taxed. Everybody would be relieved, and this is what is going to happen. You see. So the imam trying to, along with Kiyosaki and Trump, they're on the same page on this, encourage us to study. It's something that I was reading in this book Bobby wants you to be rich. And Robert Kiyosaki talks about, he says at some point in his life, he decided that he wanted to join the rich. Okay, what do you mean by join the rich? In other words, he wanted to read about rich people and their strategies. He wanted to, subscribe to those type of newspapers and he wanted to join them. In other words, those type of newspapers and publications that talk about financial matters, you know. And at some point he says he decided that he wanted to become rich and do all he can and study all he can to be rich. This is Robert Kiyosaki. He says, Donald and I share the same concern. We want you to be rich, so what are our solutions? One day, during a brief meeting in his office, Donald simply said, I'm reading from a chapter called Investing to Win. This is chapter 6, Investing to Win, he said. One day, during a brief meeting in his office, Donald simply said, I invest to win, don't you? With that statement, the defining difference appeared. He and I invest to win, while others invest not to lose. We talked here about the advice, save money. This is some advice that Robert Kiyosaki said that is erroneous advice. He says, people get this advice. He said, we talk here about the advice, save money, get out of debt, invest for the long term, generate mutual funds, and diversify. Late that afternoon, Donald and I discussed how we did not focus on saving money. In fact, we are both millions of dollars in debt, but good debt, he said. We do not diversify, at least not in the context that most people use the word diversify. But while we are definitely long-term investors, we do not invest in mutual funds, at least as a primary investment vehicle. Why? Because we invest to win. He says, Donald and I started talking about how our books were different and more popular than most of the other financial authors. And it's not that these people need to, Donald Trump, he doesn't need to publish book to make money. He's already got hotels. He's got hotels all over the world, you know. He says one author recommends not having that daily cappuccino and saving the cappuccino money in mutual funds instead. So that later in life you will become rich. You do not live below our means. We like being rich, he says. We expand our means. When we write or teach, we encourage others to be rich and enjoy the good life, not the profane life, but just the good life, having money. Let me skip down a little bit. Yeah, it made me reflect upon my life to the defining moments in my life when I decided that I would play the game of money to win rather than play the game of money not to lose. You see, so I really like this this chapter here. This is I'll read this. He says one of the ways this 90-10 rule. He's talking about the 90-10 rule. Sort of a trusty rule of thumb in my life. He says the 90-10 rule has served as a trusty rule of thumb in my life. Though I know of no scientific studies that have set out to prove it. We've all heard how 10% of all Americans own 90% of the available wealth. When you look at real estate investors, it is safe to say that 10% again own or control 90% of the wealth, with the greatest amount going to the top 1% of that 10%. He says, one of the ways that the 90-10 rule has been useful for me is in choosing my endeavors. For example, one of the reasons I have not taken up the game of golf as a profession is simply because I do not think I could be on the top 10%. Not only do I believe I don't have the talent, I do not have the desire. If you ever heard me sing, you would also know why I did not choose singing as a career. When I decided to write Rich Dad, Poor Dad and create my board game, Cashflow, I was not only pretty certain my book and game could do well, I also wanted to do well, even though I had never been a good writer or ever develop a board game. I wanted to do well. I wanted to teach, and I wanted to win. So I really like this chapter. He says, okay, Donald's view. This is Donald's view. This is Donald Trump talking. I've known about the 90-10 ratio for a long time, but Robert gives us all a good reminder. He says, now this is in 2006. He's the president. He says, pretty soon, if we don't start paying attention, it could reach 95 to 5 ratio, or even 99-0 to 1, with 1% of the people owning 99% of the nation's assets. Winners wouldn't let that happen, and I hope that includes you. It's important to have dreams. A man's reach should exceed his grasp, as Robert Downing said. This is Donald Trump talking. That's what keeps us going. I like to say, if your reality begins with your dreams will become your reality. He says, why is that? Because to think otherwise leaves us at the level of mere survival, which I believe is not the ultimate aim of most people. Ever hear a young person say that they hope they become a bum or something? Ever hear a young person say that they hope that they become a bum someday? Usually they say things like, I want to become a president. I like to be an astronaut. I like to be a fireman. I want to become a doctor. These are demanding and sometimes heroic professions. And young people have the dreams and aspirations to match them. Winners remain young at heart. They aim high and have the enthusiasm and the plans to achieve what they are aiming for. They may have wild dreams, but it's better than having no dreams. Then they pay attention and focus on what it's going to take to achieve them. Now, I like this part. He says, being stubborn is a big part of being a winner. He says, this is Donald Trump. He says, being stubborn is a big part of being a winner. Some people have failed because they have given up too soon. If you are reading this book, that group probably does not include you. My father used to tell us this story about a guy who loves soda. So he went into the soda business with a product he called 3-Up. It failed. So he started again with a soda called 4-Up. It failed too. So he decided to name his product 5-Up and work just as hard to make it work. But sure enough, it failed again. He realized that he still loved soda, so he tried again with the product named 6-Up. It failed, and he gave up completely. Then a few years later, someone else came with the soda product and named it 7-Up, which became a huge success. When I was young, I couldn't understand why my father kept telling us this story. He told it many times. Later, I realized he was telling us to never give up. Well, I never forgot that story. I've never given up either. So his lesson was well placed. Tell yourself that story if you need to, and the winner part of you will take over. The other component of winning is simply a winning attitude. I tell people, see themselves as victorious. Positive thinking works. There's a lot of power. Winning requires that kind of power, whether you're a quiet person or a gregarious one. Power is strength, and being positive can work you through some pretty difficult situations. When I was deeply in debt at one time, I became stubborn and refused to let it get me down. I simply refused to become negative. I focused on the solution, and I assured myself that I would work. This is Donald Trump talking. He says, I became stubborn and refused to let it get me down. I simply refused to become negative. I focused on the solution, and I assured myself that I would work through the situation and come back to be more successful. That's exactly what happened. My demise was written about in major publications, and even then I refused to agree with them. My reality was about my dreams, not about numbers. I won. Are you stubborn enough to be a winner? He says. Then you are capable of investing to win. It's not a foreign territory. It's not a foreign territory, and you don't need a passport or a visa to join the ranks of winning investors. I've heard a lot of people say about themselves, I have a stubborn streak. And then they act like they don't have what it takes or even the right to learn about investing. As Robert Kiyosaki pointed out, they will be missing out on a lot of fun and better financial future at the same time and a necessary misfortune. Ignorance can be more expensive than education, and that certainly includes your financial education. Do not let the fear of the unknown hinder your aspirations and your financial well-being. Now, this is the book that Imam Muhammad said he liked. And like it's good. He says, there are people who will want you to feel inept so they can take advantage of you. I'll read that again. There are people who will want you to feel inept so they can take advantage of you. I've seen that happen to very successful athletes, as one example. Don't let it happen to you. Learn about money, and make it work for you. That's the key to successful investing. Being stubborn is a big part of being a winner. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so I kind of like that. Robert Kiyosaki says, you know what intelligence is, he says? I like this, too. Intelligence is solving problems, having the ability. That's real intelligence. And Allah gives us that in the Holy Quran. He tells us about our moral life, our spiritual life, help us, to understand him. And then he increases our intelligence. He says, Robert Kiyosaki says, intelligence is solving problems, having the ability to solve problems. That's real intelligence, you know. We have a problem here. And among us, as Muslims, African-American Muslims, we have a problem. We need money. We need to be wealthy. We need to be rich. We need to teach our children financial literacy and develop a financial IQ, you know, along in our schools. We should make sure, very sure, that our schools are mathematics and science intent, like Allah says, like Imam Muhammad says, that the purpose of the revelation of the Holy Quran is to lead us toward the exact sciences. He says the purpose of the revelation of the Holy Quran is to lead us toward the exact sciences. If you want to see him say that statement, go to New Africa Space Code and STEM Academy, my Facebook page. I got it there. You can see it. You can see him saying it. That the purpose of the Holy Quran is to lead us toward the exact science. So as we ground our children in the Holy Quran, the Arabic language, as they learn to read, as we get our schools going, and they learn to read in Arabic and Arabia, and as our children learn about Prophet Muhammad, the companions, and as the Holy Quran is going to teach our children and lift their spirits up and, you know, guard them morally, and show them how to navigate, you know, navigate this world, you know what I mean? We're also going to teach our children financial literacy, you know, so, because we're not training them to go get a job. We're training them to start businesses, corporations, enterprises, you see? Along with that mathematics and science education, that high mathematics and science education, that high moral science that Allah is, you know, teaching us, and Imam Muhammad from heaven is teaching us now, you know, we're going to, you know, teach our children how to be financially literate and have a great financial IQ, you see, along with that mathematics and science. Alhamdulillah. Can you see it, brothers and sisters? Can you see it? We need to work real hard for our schools, our Claire Muhammad schools. We should really work hard for our schools. We should encourage our imams, do away with the masjids, convert the masjids, to schools. You know, we're only at the masjid a couple hours a week or so. We should utilize that space and that time for schools for our children. We should get our children out of this public school system. President Donald Trump nominated Betsy DeVos, a lady who is a real champion of vouchers. I heard somebody use the figure $7,000 a year for a voucher for a child. See, the voucher follows the child. The voucher, you know, these are tax money that we're getting back from the Department of Education. And our child, those vouchers follow them. So we could take that voucher and say, I want my child to go to the Clara Muhammad School. But I want to make sure that the imam over that school, the director of that school, is in tune and in touch with Imam Muhammad's spirit of mathematics and science, and also wanting to teach our children. In other words, the school should order scientific magazines, scientific journals, business magazines, and our kids should read these things and see these, you know, around in school all the time, you know, and our curriculum should be, you know, of course, always, you know, the Quran, have our children memorizing surahs and ayats, learning about the life of Prophet Muhammad, and also, you know, teaching them to consult Imam Dufti Muhammad as much as possible, all the time. You know, my child, I had an opportunity to go to Wilshire Boulevard with my child, and director of the school of this program that my child goes to, she knew that I was into computer science. I'm a student of Imam Muhammad, and I was interested in coding and the computer science. Not that I am, you know, but I love that type of stuff. So she invited me to go along with these schools, about 40 African-American kids, and they went on Wilshire Boulevard, and they, here in Los Angeles, and they went to a company that programs games and other things, you know, computer programming. So I might have told this before, but it's worth telling again. You know, we had people from the animation department come and talk to the kids, and we had people from the music department because they created games and stuff, another product. And so the financial guy, a Jewish guy, he came and said, "You kids start reading the Wall Street Journal right now. You know, this Jew." He said, "Kids," and he's talking to these African American children, "you know, start reading now. You're only 11, 12, 13 years old." You see what I mean? And, you know, I took that. I said, "Well, you know, Allah probably sent an angel in the form of a Jew right there to drop this on these children and me. And I'm right here right now, you know what I mean, spreading this. And it's right in line with, you know, what I'm being taught from Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad, the Holy Quran, Prophet Muhammad. You know what I mean? This is the type of thing, and we should fight hard for these Karim Muhammad schools, and we should do all we can in our area, whether we're in Alabama, New York, Chicago, wherever, Fresno, wherever. We should stay up with, you know, Betsy DeVos. Her name is Betsy DeVos, D-E-V-O-S. She's the head of the federal Department of Education. You see what I mean? And she is very much into charter schools, and that's another thing, charter schools. Yes, we want vouchers because we have Clara Muhammad schools, but also our community, should be into education, period. You know what I mean? Who else is going to teach the world? Who else? I mean, nobody else, you know. So just like this Turkish fella, and he has a what he calls a Gulen movement, where he's a Turk, he's an imam, and people are trying to disparage him, but he has more charter schools in the United States than any other corporation, I'm pretty sure, than any other, you see, and that's how I learned the word STEM, because I went to his website, and his movement is called the Gulen. Look it up. The Gulen movement, he's a Turk. And when I went to his website, I kept seeing this word STEM. This is, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. STEM. I didn't know what that was. Then I finally looked it up, and it stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. That his schools, these charter schools that he have all over America, this Turk, and, you know, specializes in science, technology, engineering, and math. And even though a lot of the parents may not be Muslim, they're not Muslims, they're, you know, Christian people, the results of these schools, what they're teaching these children, you know what I mean, these parents say, "I don't care what he is, my kid is learning this math and science. He comes home, or she comes home, excited about what he's learning. And these are Turkish people. These are Turks. They came to the United States on these H-1 visas, because they're professors and they're scientists. And this brother, forgot, I can't think of his name right now, but his name is Gulen, I think, G-U-I-L-L-E-N. Look it up. a Turk, and he inspired. He writes books, and his books says, "Do good, do good." That's the he has what they call Harmony Schools, H-A-R-M-O-N-E-Y, Harmony Schools, and these schools are, you know, everybody in the world knows that's where it's at, mathematics and science, but they encourage us to run behind a football and run behind a baseball or get our kids all into all these team sports or run behind wanting to put out a CD and rap, you know what I mean? You know, instead of math and science. And even the school in California here, even the school, the curriculum is so lopsided, you know what I mean? They have 4 hours. A school day is approximately 6 hours. And it's top-heavy with English, language arts, history, and social studies, and just a little math and a little science. And this is what they're doing. You know, after all, it was a sin. It was against the law to teach us how to read and write. You know what I mean? And you know, people used to suffer death if they caught us reading or someone asking the teachers how to read. So instead of doing that now, they just dumb down the curriculum, give us a whole lot of English, language arts, history, and social studies. We don't need 4 hours of that. All we need about 2 hours of that. 2 hours of English, language arts, history, and social studies. We need about 2 hours of mathematics and 2 hours of science. That's when we should reverse it. Two math, two science, and then 2 hours. You cram English, language arts, history, and social studies into the other 2 hours. And then PE. Instead of having your child get into, of course you don't want your child, you don't want people to punk your, you don't want these little thugs to punk your child. You want your boy child, your man child to come up strong. So put him in martial arts. Put him in martial arts. But don't let him run behind a football and come home and play football for 2 hours and basketball season for 2 hours and 3 hours. You know, then track season, then baseball season. You know, Elijah Muhammad said, give up sport and play. Didn't he say that? I'm pretty sure he said that. Give up sport and play. You know, but for boys and for girls, if you want to, put your child in some type of kung fu and karate, you know, jujitsu, you know, I mean, but don't let him run behind a ball 3 hours a day, 2 or 3 hours a day, we don't have to prove to anybody we're great athletes. We don't have to do that now. We need to become great thinkers, you know, great creators, great inventors, like Allah wants us to be, like Allah wants us to be. And so we are so blessed. We are so blessed to have Imam Muhammad come into our life. We're so blessed to have Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Carol Muhammad in our life. If you really think about it, we are super blessed, super, super blessed to have this, these people come into our life. And then they came and they pointed to other people in our life. They pointed to Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, you know, W.E.B. Du Bois. This is in our sphere, African American people. But now it's expanding. Imam Muhammad said, go study the rich now. Go study Trump and Kiyosaki and what's the other brother with Berkshire Hathaway? You know what I mean? Study, you know, we ain't hung up on race. We're not. That's not us. You know, we're with Allah. That's who we're with. You know, and being His Khalifa, and our children being His Khalifa. You know, His vicegerent on earth. Alhamdulillah, doing good. We're making this world for goodness and righteousness and truth. That's who we are. You know, we're not terrorists. No, we're not terrorists. We're not thugs. We're good people, the best, some of the best people, and our children will be even better than us because they won't have to go through the misery and pain that we went through because we were so ignorant. We, you know, coming up, you know, we fell into all types of problems. But our children, inshallah, if we hurry up and get behind these Clare Muhammad schools, you know what I mean, encourage our imams to be more erudite and scholarly, like when Imam Muhammad first came into our life, he dropped all kind of books on us. All the books he was reading,
you know, we were very bookish, you know. Even that brother, that man who wrote that book, Subliminal Seduction, was the Christopher Last was the Culture of Doctrine System. What was that book that he wrote? Subliminal Seduction, remember? He said all of a sudden he even said that because he put out another book after that. He says, you know something? It was an email this Muslim in Chicago. I sold so many books to his people. Remember that book about the culture, not culture narcissism, but a Subliminal Seduction? It went into how Madison Avenue, the advertising business, was embedding all kinds of things into the artwork to impress our subconscious mind to what? Smoke cigarettes, to drink alcohol. Remember? What was his name? Brian Wilson Key. You know, he wrote that book. It's called Subliminal Seduction. Imam Muhammad came and told us to think deep and read that book. And so many people read that book and ordered that book that the man had to put it into his second edition. He said, I sold so many books because this Imam told his people to do it. And we answered it, you see. So Imam Muhammad came and he really did a wonderful job of teaching us and doing his job. Alhamdulillah. So that, like I said, get this book, Why We Want You to Be Rich. Inshallah, it's going to come a time that we'll be able to take calls, take suggestions, you know, because we're anxious to hear from you. And also, oh, yeah, I wanted to pass this along to Ron Paul. He has a book out a couple of years ago. Ron Paul ran for president of the United States. Ron Paul. It's called Swords into Plowshares. In 2020, you may not have heard about it because we were so engrossed into former President Barack Obama. But this little guy here, Ron Paul, had been preaching and teaching peace ever since I've known him. I've been knowing him now for look like about 8 years, not knowing, but just following him. And he has this book called Swords into Plowshares. The reason I bring this up about peace, we, you know, as Muslims, we need to pray for peace and talk about peace. You know, after all, you know, the people in the Middle East and other areas of the world are our brothers and sisters, even though the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews, are our brothers and sisters. And so we have to keep up with what's happening. We have refugee problems. So many people are trying to escape the bombs and bullets and drones and tanks and the missiles. All these people do is flood the Middle East with all these arms and weapons, and you have some of these people pick up these arms and weapons and use them against their own population, and we have so many children losing parents, and so many people are having to flee the violence in the Middle East and everything. Ron Paul talked about that in his book, Swords into Plowshares. Swords, in other words, the armaments of war into things of productivity. Swords into Plowshares, he said. He talked about the Middle East wars and how it's wrong. He said it's wrong, so wrong. And he's a Christian. He's a good Christian. Good. He's one of the best Christians that I know, you know, that I know. And I say I know him because I look at his videos and his and everything. He's been teaching peace, and how wrong it is for the military-industrial complex to keep these wars going. It's kind of like, remember the Iraq-Iran war, and it came out how they kept it going? If the Iranians were winning the war, they would arm the Iraqis to keep it going. If the Iraqis were winning the war, they would, you know, give arms to the Iranians. Their whole thing was to keep it going, keep the war going. And so millions of people, millions of kids were slaughtered on both sides, you see. And that's how Satan does. That's how Satan does. That's, you know, so satanic. And so they keep these wars in the Middle East going because they make money on them, too. They make money. And Ron Paul talks about that. Ron Paul. So, you know, we need to maybe support him, Ron Paul.
You know, he ran for president of the United States. He had a he was able to get his message out to the world because he ran for president. And they used to laugh at him. Ah, Ron Paul wants peace. You mean peace with Al-Qaeda and all that? You know, make mockery and everything like that. He said, no, we need to follow the Constitution. You know, if anybody wants to wage war, it needs to be waged by the Congress. You know, you just don't declare a war because you're the executive. That's what he said. The Constitution shall be the final arbiter of if we go to war, if we commit our children to war. So this is something else that's a part of our deen, because after all, Muslim, As-Salam, the root words of Muslim and As-Salam Alaikum and all that, As-Salama, meaning peace, I'm pretty sure. And it's all over our religion. So we need to be the peacemakers too. All we need to do is keep up with men, courageous men like Ron Paul and other people who want peace in the Middle East, peace in the world, So alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All right, so we're going to keep working. You're going to keep talking about this. Your homework is to look up Betsy DeVos and see what she's doing with the vouchers and learning about the vouchers. Your other lesson is to make sure you get this book, Why We Want You to Be Rich, by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. Your assignment also is to look up and see how many books they got going and start acquiring these books, start reading up on these books. And we're going to figure out some way how we can start taking calls pretty soon, inshallah, and get your suggestions and get some of your ideas, alhamdulillah. So that is about all that I want to say right now. I'm reading I asked Brother Muhammad, I texted him about the Arabic word dua kunut. It's the prayer that you make when you make tahajjud. And in the third rak'ah before you go down into sujood, you do the dua kunut, and so I guess I'm bragging. I'm learning how to make tahajjud because we need to keep praying to Allah and submitting to Allah, and inshallah he'll bless us even more. So, Brother Muhammad, you there?
Yes, sir.
Believers, assalamu alaikum, and inshallah, Brother Muhammad, say a dua for us, and inshallah, I'll see you. I'll be back on the air, God willing, 4 o'clock Wednesday. So have a good day. And Brother Muhammad, you could take us out, or you could make a dua. Probably appreciate it.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, my brother. All praises due to Allah. I just want to encourage the believers to keep full faith in Allah. Keep full faith in Allah and in His Messenger. And trust that system. It's the highest system in the creation. It's the original system. It's the real system. And Allah will guide you. That's His attribute, the guide. And don't wait for the other leaders in our community or any place else to give you ideas that you, if Allah has already shown you that they'll work or that you're willing to try it. Just like Brother Amin said, I think that was outstanding presentation, my brother. So work real hard. Don't be afraid. Don't let anything hold you back. Be like me. I'm very independent. I am very independent. I work for Allah and His Messenger. I work for Allah, and I trust that Allah will give us all of the people that we need, all of the information that we need to be successful. Don't be afraid to be wealthy, like Brother Amin said, and open your eyes. Think big, just like you said. Think big, and it's time to move from, scrounging over $20 or $50 or $100 and move on to how can we make thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Allah will make us successful. So I'm going to close out the program today with a dua. And we're asking Allah to guide us and to strengthen us and let us not be afraid to go forward. Alhamdulillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Malik yawmiddin, master or ruler of the day of judgment. Iyaka nabudu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee alone do we worship, and thee alone is aid we seek. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace and favor. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Right al-maghdubi alayhim wa la-dawaleen. Ameen. Not the way of those upon whom your wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Alhamdulillah.